Ready for your big election? Well, we went to a Kamala Harris crusade rally. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There was nobody there, so we went over to Trump. See, foreigners shouldn't make fun of your... We had a great time at the Trump rally, and... If you don't want them, send them to Canada. Well, good to be back at Western Hills, and you people are amazingly kind and generous and wonderful, and we truly call this our home church when we're away from home, and we love it here. And we just celebrated our 26th month anniversary. That's 67,392,000 seconds that we've been married. So, last time I was here, I was taught on how to be a servant. Anybody doing that? Men, be honest with me. Are you a better servant than you were before? Prior to that, put up your hand if you are. Are you practicing it? Are you practicing it? I better not get off on a tangent here. Turn to Luke chapter 6. How to survive the storms. Sure, you may as well stand. I think you always do here. Just going to read a couple of verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49 we'll read, and I'll just read them. I mess it up if we read together. So, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that home and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which a stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. God, I pray to bless the teaching this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We all understand that storms come in life, am I right? America has just gone through Helene and Milton, is that the other one? Storms and tremendous damage, and you read about storms that come, but the worst storms that we will ever endure, and I don't belittle Helene or whatever, is the storms that come in your life and in my life, and they never quit. They never quit. You can mark it down. They will not come. You either are in a storm right now, or you're just coming out of a storm, or you will be going into a storm. Storms come. Are you? Am I right or wrong? Who here has endured a personal storm? All right. Almost all hands are up. If yours aren't up, you're lying. We all get in storms. That's just a fact of life. And they never, ever quit. My CFO in my company, his wife was killed in a snowmobile accident about 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever, my wife passed away. Those are humongous storms. Humongous storms. Am I right? Sickness. Who here has been involved in any kind of sickness? All right, almost everybody. That's a major storm. All of a sudden, one day, boom, just like that. There's something that just shows up. Brother Harding with cancer. Now he rang the bell. I don't even know what that means, but whatever. Storms keep coming. Are we ready for them? Can we handle the storms? How do we do that? Do you know one of the worst storms that we get into is our marriage storms. And do you know who gets hurt? It's the children. The reason we have such a messed up life with our children today is because of storms in marriage. You can't have a husband and a wife keep throwing stones at each other, pretend they're not going to hit the kids. They hit the kids. Am I right or wrong? I've dealt with so many of them, so many of them. I've dealt with so many people with marriage issues. Storms keep coming. So in the Bible here, if you are open there, in verse 46, God gives some instructions. Jesus talking and gives some instruction before he gets into the part about the storms. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He's saying there, stop being a hypocrite. Stop being a hypocrite. Our churches are full of hypocrites. Yeah. I can come here, I can put on a suit, I can put on a tie, and I can look nice, but I go home and I live like the devil. And I do things that Satan wants me to do. I have a fight with my wife. That's not what God wants. Am I right or wrong? But how many... I wonder how many here this morning had a bad week with their wife or their husband. Satan has you exactly where he wants you. Am I right or wrong? Am I right? He says, stop being a hypocrite. It's one thing to be Christian on Sunday. It's a whole lot more difficult to be Christian on Monday. Am I right or wrong? But the Bible says, he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The things which I say. It's easy for me to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus on Sunday. But on Monday, oh my word, that's so much more difficult. So much more difficult. But the Bible instructs, the Bible is abundantly clear. Don, you're supposed to walk holding Jesus' hand every day. Not just Sunday, every day, holding hands with Jesus as I walk through life. But I find that every once in a while, as I'm walking along, holding hands with Jesus, Satan grabs my hand. He wants to join in the walk. Because he knows I won't last very long and I'll let go of this hand. Am I right or wrong? Are you with me? Jesus said, don't be a hypocrite. He said, verse 47 to 48, number 2, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you unto him to whom he is like. He says here, obey the Bible. If you obey the Bible, it offers protection. If you want, listen to me, if you want protection in your life, from Satan's attacks, or world's attacks, or our fleshly attacks, if you want protection, you got to read this book. There's not an option, folks. If you want protection, listen to me, if you want protection from sickness, will that prevent all sickness? No, I won't go there. But if we don't have time for God and we don't have time to talk to God, no wonder sickness comes. I know that's a very sensitive area we got to be careful with, but, and I know way better Christians than me who get sick and die and whatever. But it does give protection. Do you agree with that? It does give protection. We had a lady in our church who just reported to us. She just barely missed an accident here a few weeks ago. There was a guy driving the wrong way on a four-lane highway. It was on the wrong two lanes. And she spotted it at the last second, friends of ours. And the car right behind her got hit by this driver. Both were killed. I just wonder if that morning she prayed, said, God, would you protect me today as I'm driving? Do you think God can do that, or is that beyond God's ability? So God said, do those two things, and now we're ready to build a life that will withstand the storms. Talks here about the foolish man and the wise man. Now we understand somebody who doesn't believe in God, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Obviously, he's a fool. You agree with that? But it doesn't seem to be talking here to an unsaved man and a saved man. It seems to be talking about two saved people. And we'll explain that here in a minute. So you have two saved people. Listen to me closely. One is a fool and one is a wise man. I wonder how often Don Swatsky is a fool. But put your name in there. How often are you a fool? Oh, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But you're not a wise Christian. I'll try to explain that a little bit today. Both of them have a Bible. The wise Christian reads his Bible. The fool is too busy. I wonder how often I have a private area in our home at home where I have my devotion time, where I get down and I meet God. I'll tell Joy when I'm going down the stairs, I said, I'm going down to meet my best friend and spend time with my best friend. And I wonder, every once in a while, I'm too busy. And I wonder, listen to me, I wonder if God shows up and he says, I wonder where my friend is today. Oh, he was too busy. I'm a fool. If I don't have time to spend time with my best friend. Am I right or wrong? Yeah. Amen? Now, they both have a Bible. One reads it, one doesn't. One of them, to justify his not reading it, will change to a different version of the Bible because that makes him look smart and makes him look good. But does it make any difference what version you have if you don't read either one? You can have the King James Bible on your coffee table, but if you don't read it, it could be any other version. It could be a false version. Am I right or wrong? Just ask yourself. Do you have time? I'm not one that's advocating that you spend 2 hours a day reading the Bible, but I am advocating open it every day. Amen. Even if you read one verse, say, God, teach me something about this verse today. I don't know how food works, but it works. Keeps us going. Am I right? This keeps us going. Amen. Let me give you one verse about, and I'm not on the subject, but on the different version. Acts chapter 8. Turn to Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. There's a story there about the eunuch that Philip witnessed to, and he asked him a question. As he went on their way, verse 36, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, that next verse is the clearest verse probably in the scripture to make it abundantly clear to us that baptism is important. Baptism follows salvation, not the other way around, and baptism is by immersion. They didn't go in the water and he took a cup with him. There was much water. Am I right or wrong? All right? But look at what Verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He had put his faith, faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen to me carefully. That verse is missing out of Jehovah's Witness Bible. And we say, that's a false cult. Oh, by the way, it's missing in the New International, too. It's even missing in the New King James Bible. Why would you want to read something that doesn't have the entire inspired Word of God? Right or wrong? All right, I'm not on that subject, so forgive me. So the wise man has a Bible and reads it. The foolish man has a Bible, does not read it, or can change his versions or whatever. Verse 47, whosoever cometh, a wise man comes to Jesus. But you know, the foolish man also came to Jesus. Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not, he also came to Jesus. They both came, but one man is wise, one man is foolish. There's a difference between coming to Jesus and walking with him every day. Am I right or wrong? If I'm going to get adopted into God's family, for crying out loud, I better start living like God's family. Now, I came into God's family, I was pretty young, but I was definitely a sinner. I loved lying, I loved stealing. I mean, I didn't need to do that, I just enjoyed doing that. Then one day I joined this family, and somebody said, maybe you ought to quit doing that. And you know what? In this family, we're not liars or stealers, thieves. So I said, I'll quit doing that. Both of them came to Jesus. One, his life was changed, the other one was not. It says here, he came, verse 47 again, whosoever cometh, verse 48, he is like a man which built an house, verse 47, who cometh to me and heareth my sayings. He did not only come, listen to me, he heard, he listened. I wonder how many people here this morning have come, but they're occupied with the election, they're occupied with some sports, and your mind is everywhere. You come, you'll hear Pastor Moore preach this morning, and you'll hear. Let me ask you. Next point is he doeth, but we'll get there. He heareth. Most of the time when I hear somebody preach, I take notes. Maybe you don't need to, but I do know this. Wasn't this message great on Hosea on Wednesday? I don't know where you get these thoughts out of the Bible. I am so shallow compared to that. It's unbelievable. Anyway, never mind. But I take notes. I write things down. I don't write a lot of it down. Here's what I do. You do what you want to do. Here's what I do. I do take notes. When I get home, I read them again. If it's still telling me something, I'll lay them aside, and a week later, I'll read them again. And if it's still telling me something, I'll keep the notes. Sometimes I'll keep the notes, and at some point, they'll come in somewhere on a lesson that I'm teaching. Are you with me? I'd encourage you, take notes. The foolish, they both heard. It says there, verse 49, he heard, came to Jesus. He heard. The wise man came and heard. The foolish man came and heard. By the way, I think we spend too much time listening to wrong things.
Amen.
We spend too much time listening, oh my goodness. We spend too much time listening to false preachers.
Amen.
I am amazed at how Calvinism, I tell you what, if that was from the Lord, Satan would be fighting it. But it's not. I believe in predestination, but I do not believe in predestination when it comes to salvation. You do not find it in the Bible. But it's being taught everywhere. And it's primarily being taught by preachers that have changed the Bible. That's just a fact. I'm off on a tangent again. I shouldn't be. The true wise man doesn't only come to Jesus and hear, he puts action to what he hears. How about you? I asked you right at the beginning. I taught a month ago on being a servant. Who here heard that? You came, you heard. The decision is obviously yours. Are you a wise man or are you not a wise man? A wise man came and heard. The foolish man came and heard. But the wise man puts action to it. Brother Jackson, that means that you will put action to what you heard,
amen,
and you'll be a servant to that beautiful wife of yours.
Amen.
Or you can be one of those, I'm the man of the house. What a dumb statement, anyway. No wonder I get into trouble. A wise man will come, he will hear, and he will do. I remember when we first started way back, started going to Kirkfield Park Baptist Church. I'd never attended a Baptist church. I grew up Mennonite. And the preacher had the gall to preach against liquor. Preacher, what the nerve of a pastor to do that? But he kept bringing it up. And I thought, well, he's reading it from the Bible. There's probably some truth to this. So I started studying it. Then I did the terrible thing, I started praying about it. What a mistake that was. It didn't take long till the Holy Spirit kicked me around the block. I said, you idiot, you're claiming to be a Christian, you're claiming to be a good Christian, but you got liquor in your fridge. What's with you? I went home, poured every drop down the sink. Have not touched it since. I not only came, I not only heard, but I acted on what I heard because it came from the Bible. Am I right? Amen? It says there in verse 48, he's like a man which built an house and digged deep. He digged deep. Listen to me. The foolish man came, the foolish man heard, but he didn't do. The foolish man, they both built, am I right? They both built, but one didn't survive. Lots of Christians fall by the wayside. I remember when we built our house in Winnipeg. Now, we're in storm country. We're not in storm like Florida, but we get huge storms in Canada. We get 40 below weather. You guys would love it. You should come and visit in the middle of February or March. You'd love it. With that 40 degree weather, it's amazing how often we get big winds. And then we get throw sprinkled in with it. You can't see more than a foot in front of yourself. A storm. I remember when they built my house, and we have a bungalow, but we have a basement. In Phoenix, you don't have any basement. We have a basement, and I have a basement under my basement, which is just a crawl space. I remember when they dug the hole. They dug the hole, and it was like 14 feet deep, and I thought, what in the world is this guy doing? And then I went back a couple days later, and he had pilings in the big, huge concrete pilings, probably about 20 of them. I'd never seen that before. Typically, a basement is built, they just dig the hole, put a foundation around, put a couple of pilings under there, and then pour the concrete. This had about 20 pilings, and I asked the contractor, I said, how deep did you make them? He said, 40 feet. I thought, wow. Since then, that home has gone through storms. Lots of ice storms, snow storms, rain storms, wind storms. But you know, it has not moved one inch. It dug deep. We as Christians need to dig deep if we want to survive the storms. The foolish man just put the house down, did not dig deep. The same story is in Matthew 7:24. It says there that the rains came and the floods came and the winds came. You can be rest assured that all three will come in your lifetime. The rains, you can usually survive pretty well. The longest rainstorm ever, I believe, was the flood was 40 days. The longest flood ever was 40 days. I believe I'm correct on that. But they quit. But the wind never quits. If you are diagnosed with cancer, that wind will keep blowing and keep blowing and keep blowing. And praise God, you can ring the bell sometimes. But amazing how a sickness will just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. The wind keeps blowing. But it says in Matthew that it survived the storm. If we as Christians dig deep, we also can survive the storms. When Elaine got diagnosed with her sickness and then started having heart attacks and strokes and all that stuff, it just kept coming, just kept coming, just kept coming. Listen to me. I'm glad that I never stopped coming to Jesus. I'm glad that I never stopped hearing the Word of God. I'm glad that I kept living the Word of God. I don't think I would have survived otherwise. There's a reason so many Christians stop coming to church. A storm comes. Dig deep. Where do we have to dig deep? Let me give you a couple. Number one, dig deep in the Bible. Make sure you got the right Bible. Dig deep. Don't stop digging. Listen to me closely. People invariably that I have ever met and talked to that quit coming to church are people who have quit reading the Bible. You mark it down. A couple that is, listen to me carefully, a couple that is constantly in conflict with each other is not a couple that is reading the Bible together and is praying together. You mark it down. You mark it down. Without exception, I have counseled dozens and dozens and dozens of couples that are problems. We're in counseling now with probably about three couples. And invariably, they stop reading the Bible and they stop praying together. Joy and I read the Bible together every morning and pray together every morning. When we go to bed at night, we read the Bible together and pray together. It is really hard. It is really hard for me to be mad at her and talk to God at the same time. Can't do it. Can't do it. You want to make your marriage wonderful? Do that. Read the Bible. Talk to God. Dig deep. Dig deep. Dig deep in prayer. It's amazing how many people, you ever notice that? How many people who miss church, don't pray, don't read the Bible, then all of a sudden they're diagnosed with a heart attack or something, and all of a sudden they're back at church. Yep. All of a sudden, I started praying now. Why wait till you're on your deathbed to pray? Is that not dumb? Oh, yeah, that's a foolish man. That's a foolish guy. Don't be like that. We don't need to be like that. Have a prayer list. Pray through it every single day. Number three, dig deep in church. Dig deep in church. Are you surprised at how many churches now have one service a week? Do you know why? People weren't coming to the Wednesday night service. People weren't coming to the Sunday evening service. Don't you contribute to that? Don't you contribute to that? Dig deep. I'll make a decision. I'll be in church Sunday morning. I'll be in church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. That's the wise man. Who here wants to be a wise man? All right. Then do some of this. Do some of this. Number four, dig deep in helping others. Do you know anybody who needs help? I'm sure there's people at Western Hills that need help, but I'm sure there's... Do you think that maybe if we as Christians started helping unsaved people, they'd say, wow, those are pretty decent people. I should maybe go... Go check out Western Hills Baptist Church. Am I right or wrong? By the way, you can be rest assured when you bring a friend to Western Hills, they'll hear the gospel. They'll have an altar call. He'll have an opportunity to not only come, he'll have an opportunity to hear, he'll have an opportunity to do and accept Christ as a Savior. Am I right? Dig deep in church. Dig deep in helping others. Dig deep in soul winning. Don't quit. Hand out gospel tracts everywhere you go. Here, let me ask you this. Who here could hand out one gospel tract a week? Who here cannot? Let me ask you that. That means everybody can. So the obvious question is, who will? This week, between now and next Sunday, I won't be here next Sunday, but between now and next Sunday, hand out one gospel tract. That'll be like 50 gospel tracts that'll hit this community. It might only affect one person, but one is a whole lot better than none. Am I right or wrong? If I was teaching my class, I'd ask them to make a commitment. They'll do that. Dig deep in praise. Who's got something to praise God for? I won't ask you to lift your hand, but I wonder who did praise God today already. I did praise God this morning that I had a good night's sleep. I did praise God that I had the wonderful privilege of waking up with this beautiful lady. Not that long ago when I had to wake up by myself. Not that long ago. Even when before Elaine passed, she was in a different room with the nurses. I couldn't sleep with her. I better be thankful that I got somebody I can wake up with. Amen?
Amen.
So don't forget. My time is up. Don't forget. Coming to Jesus without hearing is not enough. It's not enough. Coming to Jesus and hearing and not doing is not enough. Are you with me? Are you with me? That's what the Bible says. So we need to recognize, we need to come, we need to hear, and we need to, what's the last one? Do. Action. 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 By the way, let me throw another one in here. There's some foolish Christians that are doing the last one, but are not doing the first two. Still a fool. You have no right trying to do something over here, whether that's soul winning or anything else, if you haven't first come to Jesus and you've heard from him, am I right or wrong? And then you go out and do. My encouragement to you, keep coming, keep hearing, and keep doing. And then one day Jesus will say, well done. You built upon the rock. Amen? God bless you guys. Church, I'm running overtime. Sorry.
You're dismissed.